I would like for you to get your Bibles, and I'd like for you to turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. I want to share a message that's going to actually go in correlation with what I shared last Sunday. If you remember, last Sunday I spoke a message entitled, "It's Time to Go." And in that message I shared with the congregation, for those that were not here, how important it is for you and for me to go out there and proclaim the gospel to those that are in our sphere of influence. Jesus gave the command before he ascended into heaven for them to go and preach the gospel to every creature. But what I was bringing out last time was that that responsibility wasn't given to preachers alone or just to the 12 apostles. But Jesus actually spoke that word to all of those disciples that were gathered there in his presence, many of which were just ordinary laymen, just ordinary people who just attended the church, but they weren't called to preach, they weren't called to pastor. But it's the responsibility of every individual that is saved to share their faith. How many of you can say amen to that? And so it was time to go, but I want to speak with you today another message going along the same lines in a way. I would like for you to begin reading with me in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 24. It's the final chapter of Luke's Gospel. And I want us to begin reading at verse 36. And we're going to see what Jesus was doing towards the final hours before he would ascend into heaven. And it says this in chapter 24, verse 36, "And as they thus spake," and I'm reading from the King James today, "and as they thus spake," or as they had just spoken, "Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are you troubled, and why do these thoughts rise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, and wondered, he said unto them, Have you here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said unto them," verse 46, "that it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Let's just read really fast one more verse, verse 49. And it says again, "And behold," this is Jesus, the last words before he would take them and ascend into heaven, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." And I want to speak with you for a few minutes this morning on the subject of before you go. Last Sunday, it's time to go. Today, before you go. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that you would help me to express your heart, Lord, to this, your people. I pray, Lord, that you would be glorified and that you would remind us, Lord, of what you want to do in and through each and every one of us as your vessels. I pray that, Lord God, you would use the message to stir our hearts to want to seek after the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we need the power of the Holy Spirit, for it's only your power that can deliver from sin, that can set free those that are bound. Lord, there is nothing in our own strength that can achieve those things. We need the Holy Spirit. And so speak to our hearts today through your word, we ask, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Last Sunday, the Lord had placed upon my heart to speak that message, "It's Time to Go," to reiterate the importance of sharing our faith, the importance of sharing the good news of Jesus to our friend, even our foe, to share the gospel with individuals to let them know that there is a Savior, that even though they may be drenched in sin, Jesus can save them from their sinfulness and give them an eternal home in heaven. There is no reason that any one of our neighbors or friends should go to an eternal hell, for Jesus has made a way for them to be saved. But how can they hear without a preacher? And that preaching is not only the responsibility of the pastor behind the pulpit, it is also the responsibility of every single Christian to share the gospel to their friends and their families, their neighbors, their co-workers, and so on and so forth. But when we think about the responsibility of sharing our faith, I'm sure that you, just like I have done before, we realize how inadequate we really are. Sometimes we don't even know how to say a sentence without stumbling over our words. When you look at me, you would think, oh, well, that pastor, he's probably been talking like that all his life. And in the reality is that before I was saved, I really didn't talk a lot. I was a pretty quiet guy. I was pretty shy, and I really didn't say a lot of words. I'd smile a lot. I would let everybody else do the speaking for me. But I was a pretty quiet and shy kind of guy. And I know with as much as I can start talking, you would wonder, really? Seriously? Yes, that's true. But the Bible says that God chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. He calls those that seem to be nothing and gives them the responsibility to share the gospel, so that God can receive the glory of the work that He's doing through that vessel. So none of us can really say, well, I can't speak. Because if we will put our hands in the hand of the Master, He will give us a voice. Amen. You all remember Moses as he was there at the burning bush, and God was calling Moses to be the deliverer of the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. They had been in bondage for 430 years. And before God would send Moses, Moses would hear the Lord saying, "I'm sending you to Egypt, Moses." And Moses would begin to make his excuses and say, "I don't even know how to speak, Lord." And then God would speak to him and say, "I will give you the words that you need to speak." God wants to empower you. God wants to give you the ability to share your faith with power. Now, that doesn't mean that every one of you will become an evangelist and preach to the masses. No. But some of you can. And some of you may be called of God to reach out to the lost in ways that right now you don't even fully understand yet. Some of you don't even realize that God has a call upon your life, and some of you will be missionaries. As God begins to lay hold on your heart and you give Him your heart, God will begin to speak to you and put a nation, a people on your heart, and He will give you a desire to go. God is still calling individuals in our day. And I don't believe that He's going to skip over Center Assembly of God and call people from every other church and not this one. But if you and I will begin to seek the face of God and fall madly in love with Him, there's it doesn't even begin to cross our minds what God can do through a vessel that will be given over to Him. God can raise evangelists, prophets, apostles, pastors, and teachers from Center Assembly of God. Amen. But it's not going to be that that individual goes and gets a doctorate degree to become that man of God. No, that man of God will be in touch with God, will shut that closet, will spend time in prayer before God, and God will raise that individual up. And that individual may go to college and get a degree. You all hear what I'm saying? The degree does not make a man of God. A man of God is made in the prayer closet as they've sought the face of God, and God puts His hand on that individual. And God wants to put His hand on you. God does not show favorites. God didn't just put His hand on me because I was unique or special. But when I got saved, I began to seek His face, and God began to do a work in my life because I was abandoned to Him. I am not a perfect individual. My kids can tell you that. My wife can tell you that. But I'm sincere in my walk with God. And God took my life, and God began to speak to me. God made the door and the possibility for me to go to Bible college and to teach and to be in the ministry. God did that. But when we look at ourselves, and when I was first saved, if I would have just looked at myself, I would have never gone anywhere. But I fell in love with Jesus, and I began to seek His face. And my love for God began to grow, and it began to grow. That I couldn't help but to speak of those things that I have seen and heard. That I'd begun to know Jesus in such an intimate way that shy individual began to talk where he didn't even talk before. Where I would begin a conversation where I didn't even know how to start a conversation began to happen. But God began to start with my life, and He began to do it little by little, little by little. Some of us look at ourselves and we know we're inadequate. I know how inadequate I was and still am. But I know that God can do amazing things. How about you? I remember the very first time when I was there at the church in Capuline. And I was standing there in the pew, and we were going to close the service in prayer. And the pastor said, "James, can you close in prayer?" And I was standing there, and I was so shy, and I had never prayed in front of people before. And I was standing there with my eyes closed, and I wanted to pray. Oh, I wanted to pray, but no words came out. I felt like every eye was on me. I felt like I was redder than a tomato at that time. And I think the pastor noticed, boy, he's struggling right there. And so he closed in prayer. But eventually I would come to the place of closing in prayer. Would come to the place of helping to direct the service. Would come to the place where I would begin to speak or begin to play the guitar and begin to sing and begin... You follow what I'm saying? Luke, in his gospel, reminded the disciples before Jesus left. He reminded them in his gospel. He told them in verse 49, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." The church needs the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. There is no impact without the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to flow through our vessel. You and me, we are vessels that God will flow through. And we need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to be of greater impact in our communities. Now, yes, you should go and witness to others. You should memorize Scripture, share Scripture with those around you. You can memorize what is called the Roman Road. And lead someone as you witness to them down that Roman road. Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 5:8, and Romans 10:9 and 10, to where they get saved. Amen. There are tactics, there are techniques to witness and to evangelize. Yes. But you will have a greater impact in your ministry through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus said here in verse 49, He told them, don't go anywhere. Before you go, wait there in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. He told them, I have a plan for you. I've just told you to go and preach the gospel. And you should go, He is saying, but wait before you go. Tarry or wait. It's a command. Don't go anywhere. Don't try to minister until you are endued with power from on high. And so I'd like for you to turn to the book of Acts chapter 1. And I want you to see the correlation. You see, Luke was the writer of both the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. And so in one way, when you read the book of Luke and you continue to the book of Acts and skip over John, you will see how they're really connected. Luke was writing to Theophilus. He told them the gospel, the story of Jesus, the good news. Amen. But then he began to tell them the story of the church. And you'll kind of see a connection, and you'll notice the wordage here, how they actually go together. Chapter 1, verse 1 says, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that through the Holy Ghost has given commandment unto the apostles whom he has chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Let me tie it together a little bit here. Luke is now saying that Jesus appeared to the disciples and the apostles, those that follow Jesus, with many infallible proofs. That means that there was no way to doubt his appearance. As we read in the Gospel of Luke, they were there standing behind closed doors, talking, and all of a sudden Jesus appeared in the midst. They were awestruck. They were surprised. Can you imagine if you were them and all of a sudden Jesus appeared in the midst? You would have been just like them. Amen? But then Jesus says, look, I am who... Look, I'm Jesus. Look at my hands. And I'm sure they saw the scars. Look at my feet. Put your hand in my side. And they were still doubting, so he said, give me some food to eat. Now, this might not seem important to you, but it was very important in that day, especially when the Gnostics were saying that Jesus was just a spirit with no physical body. When he partook of that broiled fish and he ate that honeycomb, a spirit can't eat food. So Jesus was saying, look, this is me in the flesh. Now, I'm sure it was surprising to see Jesus. I'm sure there wasn't the same bruises and the same blood all over the place that he had just experienced in the Passion. Amen? They're seeing Jesus in his glorified body, a resurrected body. I mean, he just appeared in the midst. It's amazing. Infallible proofs. And this happened for 40 days. So after he came out of the grave, 3 days after his death, he made himself known to the disciples for 40 days. With many infallible proofs. Now, verse 4 says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them. This is Jesus. We just read this in Luke. He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence, or not many days from now. I'm sure he didn't tell him 10 days from now, even though that's exactly what it was. You see, from the time of the Passover to the day of Pentecost was 50 days. We all kind of hear that? Jesus had now been around for 40 days. He ascended into heaven. 10 days later would come the day of Pentecost. But you'll hear the same words here. It's very similar to what was shared in the Gospel of Luke. He commanded them to wait in Jerusalem until they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. And the Scripture says that when they were come together, they asked the Lord, is it at this time that you will restore again the kingdom to Israel? In verse 7 it says, "And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but..." Now what I like about this is this. He just said, you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit in not too many days. So then all of a sudden they get sidetracked. They say, oh, is it now that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And then Jesus responds, it's not for you to know those times that God has put in his own power. It's not for you to know that just yet. But let's get back to the focus here. Let's get back to what I was saying initially in verse 8. He says, you shall receive power. Look at the Gospel of Luke 24. You shall be endued with power. Verse 8 says again in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Jesus is telling his followers, you need the Holy Spirit. Y'all remember in the Gospel of John, he says, it's important, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I don't go, he won't come. But if I go, I'll send him to you. The Holy Spirit was the empowerer of the early church. The reason why their witness was so effective and their boldness so strong was because they were filled with the Holy Spirit and power. And it's powerful to see that it would be 10 days later. Let's turn to Acts chapter 2. As we see them there, gathered together in an upper room, how they were filled with the Holy Spirit. It says in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly..." That's the way the Holy Spirit comes. Did you know that? "Suddenly. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." In the Gospel of Luke, as well as in Acts, we see Jesus commanded them, don't go anywhere. Before you go, remain in Jerusalem. Stay there until you're endued with power from on high. He says, the Holy Ghost, when he comes upon you, you shall receive power, and you will be my witnesses. And then 10 days later, as these people are seeking the face of God in this upper room, the Bible says the Holy Spirit came suddenly upon them. And it was a miraculous thing. If you would have been there, you would have seen this too. There were cloven tongues like as a fire that rested upon each of them. And all of a sudden, they're speaking with other tongues as the Holy Spirit is giving the utterance. Now, this had never happened before. This had never happened prior to this. But Jesus said, I'm going to send him to you. And sometimes we may wonder, well, why tongues or why these manifestations of power? I don't know. I can't answer for God. But if you will seek after God, God will fill you with his Holy Spirit and he will baptize you with power. And he will give you a prayer language that you will be able to speak with other tongues as God gives you the utterance. And you will be empowered to be a greater witness. There is greater effect when you are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Seek the baptism in the Holy Spirit if you haven't. There was a young lady, and I heard this story from an evangelist named Jack West. He was an amazing evangelist that we had the privilege of meeting there at the Bible College. He had even met Smith Wigglesworth. Anybody heard of Smith Wigglesworth? An amazing Pentecostal pioneer. He even preached in Paul Yonggi Cho's church in Seoul, Korea, the largest church in the world. And he told the story how that there was this woman who was the wife of a military man. And being a military man, he would travel all over the place, and of course she would go with him here and there. And one of those places, This wife, and having a meeting in their house, they began to tell her about receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And after praying for her, she received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues. And whenever they would get together and have a prayer meeting, she'd pray in other tongues. And one time her husband came home and he was a little flustered with her because he heard her talking in tongues. And so she would pray for her husband on the side of the bed, on her knees. And one day he was laying there in bed. She got on her knees and began to pray for her husband. And the Holy Ghost came upon her and she began to pray in other tongues. And she began to pray in the Spirit out loud. And all of a sudden the husband was like, "What is that?" And so she's praying in other tongues, and all of a sudden he's like, "What is she saying?" Because as she was praying in tongues, he understood the words she was saying. Because they were at a particular area of the world where he had learned the language, and to be able to get around in the city, he had begun to learn the language of that area. She was at home. She didn't learn it. But she was praying in tongues, and unbeknown to her, she began to pray in that language of the area where he was at. And when she was praying in tongues, she heard the voice of God speaking to him, saying to him, "You need to repent of your sin. You need to give your life to God." That's what he's hearing. She's just praying in tongues for him. So the next morning, when they came down to breakfast, he thought in his mind, "Well, I'm going to start talking to her in this language too." And so she's there going to give him breakfast. And so she asks him, "What do you want to eat?" And he responds, "I want eggs and bacon and orange juice." But he said it in the language of the people where he was working. And so she's like, "What's wrong with you? What are you saying?" And so he didn't believe her, so he kept on talking to her in that language. And she finally got mad at him. She said, "What are you doing? I don't understand a thing you're saying." And then he turned around and said, "Well, last night you were telling me that I need to get my life right with God when you were praying at the side of the bed." And all of a sudden she's like, "Whoa! I was praying in tongues for you. I was praying in the Spirit. God was speaking to you through my prayer. I don't know the language that you're speaking, but God was calling out to you." And this man fell under conviction and eventually gave his life to God. Our tongues for today. Is the baptism in the Holy Spirit for you and for me? I'm here to say yes. Sadly, we don't hear enough about it today. Sometimes we emphasize education, or we emphasize things more than we need to, but don't misunderstand what I just said. God wants you to be educated. He said to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, and your mind. He doesn't want us to be stupid. Well, maybe I shouldn't have said that word. No, he wants you to be educated. He wants you to be learned. He wants to help you. But on the other hand, it's not your education that will empower you. It's the Holy Spirit. And we need a church that is empowered again in our day. We need the Holy Spirit. There was an evangelist who was preaching the gospel in Central America. And with this, I'll close. He was preaching the gospel and he was holding evangelistic crusades in this particular area. And one night of the whole meetings, they would have a meeting for people to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And so as the evangelist was there and they were having the worship time and the service was going on, he took notice of a young man there in the crowd that kept on looking at everybody, and he kept on just kind of looking at everybody, and he began to get trouble, and he thought, "It seems like this young man is mocking everyone." And so at the time of the altar call, they began to call people up to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit if they would like. And there comes that young man, and he's there again looking at everybody. He was copying them. And so the evangelist asked the local pastor, "I noticed this young man. Why does he act like that? What's wrong?" So then the pastor said, "This young man that you're looking at is deaf. And he's also mute. He's never said a word in his life. He can't hear, but he can see. And that young man came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ through pictures in a Bible. Someone led that young man to Jesus by showing them pictures in a Bible, and he received Jesus as his Savior by pictures in a book. And so he would attend church, and sometimes he would copy everyone. And so when people would raise their hands, he'd look at them, and he'd lift up his hands. When they would be on their knees praying, he'd get on his knees and pray. And so that night, they said, come to receive the baptism, and lo and behold, that young man was there too. And so when they came to the altar to receive the baptism, and they were just laying hands on people, praying for them to receive the baptism, lo and behold, when they laid their hands on that young man, he went out in the spirit. He fell to the ground. And when he fell to the ground, this young man was speaking in other tongues. And it was a miracle that took place. This young man who had never said a word in his life, these words were coming out. Amen. The evangelist's wife had a major in the English language. She had a major in English, a degree in English. That young boy, when he was baptized in the Holy Spirit and was instantly healed of his deafness too, he was speaking in other tongues and he was speaking perfect English. This young man that had never said a word in his life. And his wife began to say, that is some of the most beautiful English I have ever heard. And this young boy in a Spanish-speaking country, the next few days began to learn to speak. You see, he was healed of his dumbness, his muteness. He couldn't speak. Now he was talking. And so his parents were trying to teach him to talk Spanish. Mama, papa, comida, right? Leche. What else do you think he was saying, right? Learning how to speak the regular language. But they said that every time he would begin to worship the Lord and begin to speak with other tongues, English came out of his mouth. I remember when I first got saved and I began to hear about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, my longing for God was so, so great that I wanted all that God had for me. And I remember one day in my car, where it was my little prayer closet, I would read my Bible in the car. I said, Lord, baptize me in the Holy Spirit. I hadn't been going to services where people were praying for people to receive the baptism, but I was there and I said, Lord, baptize me. And I began to speak with other tongues. There wasn't a great emotional experience. I didn't feel like I was flying around in heaven when it happened. It was me speaking with other tongues. And there would be times when I would try to pray about things in English and my English language didn't cut it. I began to pray in the Spirit with other tongues. And I can tell in the Spirit that there was greater effect. There was greater power. I'm here to tell you that before you go, God wants to fill you with His Holy Spirit. You don't have to wait for the Holy Spirit like they did. Did you know that? You see, the Holy Spirit hadn't been poured out like that until the day of Pentecost. But since that day, He is here to fill anyone that would want to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. God wants to baptize you in the Holy Spirit to make you more effective. Amen? And so before you go, if you want to be a greater and have more influence and impact with your witness, I encourage you to seek God to be empowered from on high. Seek God to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's stand.